afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really grateful that you tuned in today. We've got a great show. In fact, today we get to talk to a man who's been a mentor to me from afar, and I've got to say, I've got my nose in his commentaries several times a week. In fact, I have a quote in my office that's framed from something he said to me off the air the last time he joined me on the show, which was way too long ago, but he said, keep your ministry on a miracle basis. I love that. I've got that where I can see it in my office. So honored and grateful to have Bible scholar Dr. Warren Wiersbe, just one of my favorite scholars. He joins me again on the show, and we're talking about the study of the Bible. Maybe you struggle with the study of the Bible. Maybe it's so intimidating to you. Well, Dr. Warren Wiersbe has written a new book, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. Gorgeous cover. We've got three copies to give away. So honored to have him with us. Couple of quick announcements. Speaking of God's Word, every week for this month, we're giving away a systematic theology study Bible. So if you want to dig in, boy, this is a fantastic way to go. These Bibles are not cheap. So to get a free one would be amazing, wouldn't it? All you have to do, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. Also, so excited to tell you that we are partnering with the university across the street for a free college course. Now, think about this. Maybe you've always wanted to go back to school, couldn't afford it, don't have the time. This is a free 6-week online Bible college course on the life of Christ. It starts March 16th. It's free. Did I say that yet? And I mean, what a way to walk through the Lenten season, studying the life of Christ. And there are videos, there are reading assignments, writing assignments. You can register. The seating, or the spots, I should say, are limited, but it's amazing. The response that we've had just in a day has been amazing. But don't miss your spot, okay? MyFaithRadio.com. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, the older I get, the more I realize how precious time is. When we study God's Word, we are not spending time. We are investing time in that which counts for eternity. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Warren Wiersbe is an internationally known Bible teacher and former pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. Dr. Wiersbe has written over, listen to this, 150 books, including the popular B series of expositional Bible studies, which have sold, count them, more than 4 million copies. He and his wife live in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we're honored to have him with us today. Dr. Wiersbe, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. It's just a delight to be back.
I appreciate you so much, Dr. Wiersbe, and I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate the time. And well, we love to talk scripture every day, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been hanging around thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, I think this may well be the last book I've ever written.
Wow.
Well, I'm getting old, you know. I'm not as young as I used to be, and I've discovered that old age is not for sissies.
Definitely isn't.
We've got some battles to fight. Mm. You know, Betty had a stroke a couple of years ago, and she's in a special place now to be cared for, and that leaves me at home to be to do all the wonderful things she could do with her eyes closed, and I can't.
So sorry.
I tell you, you women know how to run things.
That's true. Can I just agree with you? This is true. So, well, talk to me about this book, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. Just talk about the inspiration behind it.
Pardon, I missed that.
Just your inspiration behind it. Just that. What made you want to write?
I'm inspired. The book certainly isn't. But no, it's an interesting little tale. One of the editors at David C. Cook, who published this book, was going through our area, so he stopped. We had breakfast together, and he looked at me across the table and said, "You know, you've written a commentary on every book of the Bible. Now it's time you wrote a book on how to study that Bible." And it's kind of struck me as being true. That it's kind of silly to tell people you better study your Bible. Don't tell them how. Wow. So I asked the Lord for his help, and he gave me the help I needed, and the book is now out.
Wow. Well, you did a fantastic job on it. Congratulations.
You read the book?
Yes.
Well, you're an unusual radio person. I don't usually read them.
I've heard that. In fact, I know that from experience. So, well, that, now here's a big question for you, Dr. Wiersbe. You've walked with God a very long time. What would you say that you know about him now that you didn't know, like, when you were a young man? What do you know about God now that you didn't know way back then?
Well, I can put it in one sentence, that I am supposed to live on promises, not explanations.
Wow.
That is what I have learned. Early in my Christian life, I thought God had to explain everything. And he would smile at me, I'm sure, and maybe weep a little bit. But I've learned that we do not live on explanations. Why did that drunken driver hit my car going 80 miles an hour? I don't know. I don't have to know. But I do know he cares for me. So whenever any of your listeners are in a difficult situation, please don't pray, Lord, tell me why this happened. Just pray, Lord, throw me a promise.
Oh, that's good.
That's why we study the Bible, to find the Word of God there for our hearts, not just for somebody else, but for our hearts, as to what we should do in these difficult situations. And the answer is, of course, claim a promise.
Boy, that might be a light bulb moment for somebody listening today. Maybe that's what you needed. You've been feeling restless because you're waiting for an explanation. And what the question is, the better question is, throw me a promise, Lord. Living by promises, not by explanations. So, so good. And Dr. Wiersbe, in the book, you also make a distinction between our personal devotional time and serious Bible study. Talk about the difference between these two.
Well, the difference is really quite simple. We have our devotional time because it's fellowship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit teaches us from the Word. He gives me promises. Those promises weren't originally given to me. They were given to Abraham or somebody else. But God has shown me, at least in my life, that here's a promise you can claim. Now, just trust it and keep moving. You see, I don't know about other Christians, but I get tempted to quit. You get crazy letters through the mail. You've probably had your share. Yeah. You get phone calls. You have difficulties. And you say, Lord, is it worth it all? Well, of course it is. We're serving the King of Kings. Let's keep going. And so that's why I wrote this second book. I shouldn't say second. That's why I wrote Delights and Disciplines in Bible Study, to tell us how to study the Word of God so that it just becomes ammunition in our gun. It becomes our sword, our nurturing, the food that we need for our souls. My devotional time is between me and God, but my study time is often for others. I couldn't have written those books if I hadn't taken time to study. I suppose the difference basically simply is depth. In our devotional time, it's for me and God. In the Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study, it's for me and God and whoever else needs what I learned.
Boy, that is fantastic. And here's another way that you say it in the book, that our devotional time is like eating a daily meal, while serious Bible study is like visiting a health club or exercising. And I think it's probably been, I like that. I think that's a great word picture, because you maybe go to the health club a couple times a week, and that's kind of the example you give, isn't it? Where we have a regular devotional life, but maybe a couple times a week you sit down and you open up the scripture and you dig in, on a deeper level.
Well, my devotional time, I do not need any other book but my Bible. I have used other books, but you know what I mean. The Bible that I'm reading, this is for me. But when it comes to study, oh my. I think I heard you mention something about study Bibles. I'm sitting in my desk in my study at home, and I have across the top of my desk 16 study Bibles.
Wow. You're a blessed man.
16 study Bibles. Now, they're helpful. They're useful. They're also very much alike. But that's all right. That's all right. Everybody's different. A study Bible can be a very handy thing, but it must not be a substitute for my own digging in. If I want to find out how far it is from one city to another, I'll need a study Bible or an atlas. But if I want to find out what I should do about this or this in my life, it's not going to be in the footnotes of the study Bible. It's going to be just in the Word of God from God.
In the living, breathing Word of God. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe, just love this man. We've got three copies of this book. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put delights and disciplines or Warren Wiersbe, something like that in the subject line so we know this is the book you're asking for. Don't forget your address. Three of you will get a copy of this great book in the mail. One thing Dr. Wiersbe said is he wrote this book for sheep and lambs, not for giraffes, which means you and I can study the Bible and become serious students of the Bible. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe, and we'll be back in a moment. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my, I call him my mentor from afar. He's taught me so much. I love his commentaries, and what a blessing he's been to me through the years, Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Title of his new book, do you believe this guy's still writing books? I love it, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. And you write in the book, Dr. Wiersbe, about how you were, I think you were in a seminary library, if I remember the story right, and you were browsing through some magazines, and you found this kind of paraphrase or expansion of the passage, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, and it just sort of arrested you. And I want to read it, and then I would love for you just to comment on it. I think it's so good. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what is right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get it right. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Just talk about that moment when you saw that passage and what it meant to you.
Well, that knocked me down on the floor. I'm not one. I love libraries. I don't usually go roaming around in the stacks. And why did I pick up that magazine and not something else? And why did I open that page? This little saying, and I don't have the person's name who wrote it originally, has been a great help to me. Because the Word of God fits into our lives as we live it. It's like food. If you don't open your mouth, take it in, chew it, and swallow it, it doesn't do you any good. You can read the box, what it says on the breakfast food box. You can read it all you want to and starve. So this paraphrase, really, of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, woke me up to the fact that, hey, this has to be put into practice. The Word of God will discipline me. If I'm not going to obey, it will work on me until I do obey. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit who wrote this book is living in me, and he can communicate with me from it.
So powerful. I mean, it's just powerful when you think about it. And we get so busy, and I'm sure you've heard the oft-quoted phrase, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And but it's just true. Isn't that true? I mean, we rush right past these moments of, I feel like, these holy ground moments. If we could slow down, stop our striving, and know that he is God, and he's speaking through his word, and then his spirit is in us to help guide and guard us. I mean, what a profound
gift.
Wow. Well, you also said...
Go ahead. You asked earlier about devotional study and the st- study of the Word of God deeper. As I study the Word of God, I find things about God, about myself, about the church, about the needs of people, and I don't want to lose that. I want, when I pray, when I meditate on the Word as a disciple, I want to apply it. This is why we put those adventures in the book. That when you're through with that chapter, put it to work.
Yeah, I love that. Talk about those adventures. In fact, I'll give an example of an adventure assignment. This is the adventure assignment. You say, set aside time to read Genesis 1 and read it 4 or 5 times. And as you read, take notes on the facts and the truths as God gives them to you. So talk about that adventure assignment and what often comes from an assignment like that.
Well, here is the Word of God telling us, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, if you have a Bible with cross-references, and I hope you do, the next Bible you buy, get cross-references, you'll find some cross-references there to other verses in the Bible that talk about beginnings. So what do? We look up those verses, and we try to see if there's a pattern. And this is one of the joys of Bible study. I have been working at my desk, and I've noticed certain parallels, and I trace my references, and I feel like crying sometimes for joy. For example, I was reading in Luke where Mary of Bethany was at Jesus' feet listening to him speak to her. And as I looked at the references, I found out that you also found Mary in John, where she was at the feet of Jesus weeping. And Mary then shows up again in the Gospel of John with that ointment that she put on Jesus, anointing him for his burial. I remember hearing Sidney Baxter say, and everywhere that Mary went, her hair was sure to go. So she transferred that beautiful aroma all over the house. So here are three instances of the same person in the same place at the feet of Jesus. What does this mean? And that's when you start praying. You say, Holy Spirit, you teach me. Well, in Luke, she found at his feet her blessing, and in John 11, she shared at his feet her burden. She wept because her brother had died. And then in John 12, she was at his feet anointing him. It's a beautiful picture. She found at his feet her blessing, and she brought to his feet her burden. And she gave at his feet her very best. Mm. Do you want much more than that? Yeah. I hope not.
It's amazing. And it is just powerful how you sit long enough and dare to ask some of those questions and wait on the Lord, where you're not running to other books automatically, but you're just sitting with God's Word. And even if you're uncomfortable with it, those are the kinds of revelations that come, you know?
Well, I'm going to confess something I've never confessed publicly, I don't think. I talk to my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when I talk to my Bible, it talks to me. I'll say, look, wait a minute, here I have these three references. Now, this bothers me a little bit because God doesn't repeat things in the Bible just to be filling space. And then I begin to meditate further on it, and it goes from one thing to another. So that it's such a beautiful experience that you cannot have with any other book. I have a library of, I don't know how many thousand books. There's not a book in my library that even matches anything in the Bible. It's there. For example, one of my favorite verses is Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know the verse.
Mm-hmm.
And that parallels the Mary experiences, that I may know him. That's why she was at his feet. and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, the death of her brother and his resurrection, and then Mary anointing him with the ointment. And verses collect and verses connect, and that's the joy of Bible study.
Boy, you also say, well, first of all, we've got 2 minutes to our hard break here coming up, so just giving you a heads up. But you say when we study God's Word, we can more readily discern right from wrong. Explain how that happens.
Well, the Bible is a lamp. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's an awful thing for your fuses to blow and your house doesn't have any light. You say, well, I know my house. Oh, no, you don't. How many steps go downstairs? How many steps go upstairs? Well, I don't know. So the Word of God is all that we need. We don't need the Word of God plus. We need the Word of God. That's it. It's a lamp. It's food. It's a sword to protect us. It's a map to guide us. It's just so marvelous, and yet people ignore it. I think a lot of folks, when they get to heaven, are going to have to sit down and catch up on what they didn't do when they were on earth.
Well, here's one that we're going to talk about on the other side, and you can say a word about it before we go here, but you say another reason to study the Word of God is because our enemy knows the Word of God. You got about 1 minute. What do you want to say about that?
Well, the devil knows his Bible, and so C.S. Lewis taught us that, didn't he, in his Screwtape Letters. The devil knows the Word of God. Therefore, I better know the Word of God, or I can't fight him.
Well, that we don't need to add any more than that, do we, Aaron? Aaron's like, okay, I think we're good. Time to go to break. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe. When we come back, I want to expand on that a little bit. Why do you need to know the Word? Because the enemy knows the Word. And you know what else? He studied you for a very long time, so he knows what trips you up. So why do we default to so many of the things other than the Word when the Word is our sword, the Word is our shield? I mean, we really we need the Word of God in us. Nothing matters more than making time to walk with God, talk with him, and read his Word. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe, his brand new book, 151st book, I think, something like that, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. We've got 3 copies, so email if you'd like in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Great song. It's such a reminder that we don't dictate to God. He dictates to us. But guess what? He hears us when we cry out to him, and he draws near to the humble. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. That means our story matters to him, and we've got every reason to know him more, to walk intimately with him, and to read his Word. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe today, he's just one of my favorite Bible scholars. Title of his new book, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. And we were saying before the break, Dr. Wiersbe, what you wrote in the book is that one of the many reasons you lay out a good case for us needing to make time for some serious Bible study, one of the reasons is that enemy knows the Word of God. I want you to pick up kind of where you left off, and even in your own life, how you've stood in battle because you knew the Word of God better than the enemy.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that if we don't know the truth, we're going to follow lies. And that's what's going on today. It's heartbreaking to hear some people talk about the Bible who don't know anything about the Bible. I think every heresy probably started off from a misunderstanding of the Word of God. You see, when we study the Bible, we get facts. When we meditate on those facts, we get truths, which are facts applied to life.
Wow.
Facts are for the mind. Truths are for the heart. And the key is obedience. We learn from the Holy Spirit what the Word of God tells us. We obey it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? We start to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Hmm. So it's a sequence that we cannot substitute anything else for.
Right. And then, you know, we lose our sense of discernment, or I should say we don't develop our sense of discernment if we're not studying the Bible. We'll be carried along by whims and pop culture and the changing of the times, right?
Oh, my. I wish I had saved some of the letters folks wrote me when I was on Back to the Bible for those many years. They thought they knew the Bible. Instead of writing humbly and saying, now this is what I believe, but I'm open to your suggestions, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
But they aren't that way. What are you doing telling lies over the Bible, you know, or over the radio with your Bible? We have to take truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. That book is God's truth. Let them work together.
Amen. Well, I don't know if you have an answer for this, but Dr. Wiersbe, one of the things that grieves my heart is, well, first, what grieves my heart is the departure from Scripture in this day. Picking and, you know, kind of cherry picking our theology to match how we want to live. That's one thing. But the other thing that really grieves my heart is the denominational divides. Now, I know there's a place for denominations, of course, but when you identify more with your denomination than you do with your Christian status, to the point where you're calling other people of other denominations false teachers, that is a grief of my heart, because I know godly mm-hmm. authors that are fellow authors who maybe walk in a different denominational lane, that they're godly people, but people will call them a false teacher just because, you know, because there are certain issues in Scripture that you can make a case for on either side. So maybe if you feel so comfortable enough, make the distinction between what an actual false teacher is and what just some differences are that we can agree to disagree on.
Well, I think there's room always for different viewpoints on some things, but not everything.
Right.
In the first place, we have to begin with the Bible is the Word of God. It's not suggested. It's not written by man in the sense of they thought everything up. The Bible is the Word of God. Secondly, you cannot understand the Bible apart from the Holy Spirit. There have been times when I've been studying God's Word and I've gone off on a tangent. And I say, whoop, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Hmm.
Well, that's a good idea. Well, maybe a good idea, but it's not a biblical idea. And we have to be very, very careful. I remember the little girl who asked her mother what abomination they belonged to. Now, she meant denomination.
I've not heard that.
I don't think that denominations necessarily are abominations. But for me to build a fellowship around what I think about the Antichrist is foolish.
Yeah.
I have no way to prove that my attitude or my interpretation is necessarily right. And that there are areas in the Bible where people have different views on things. They don't touch upon essentials. It's mostly non-essentials. So let's fellowship together in Christ, not in your interpretation of the book of Daniel.
Mm.
Let's fellowship together through the Holy Spirit of God, not through what it has to say about baptism or whatever else.
Yeah, amen. Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate that so much. Because I'll say when I travel to different states around the country and do conferences, when I'm doing conferences, when there are, you know, different denominations working together for the good of their city, I feel like those are the most powerful conferences, because they're sending a message to the people going, we care more about your collective good than we do about some of these non-essential differences. I think it's just, you know, it's a unity picture that's so precious, and we need to see more of that. So, go ahead.
There's no question about that. Unity. There's variety in the church. Not every member has the same gifts. So we've got variety. That's good. But variety demands unity.
Mm.
If you're going to be different, you've got to learn to be also alike. And alike in what? In love. love for one another, love for the Word of God, love for Jesus Christ, love for God's people. And that's what makes the church.
So good. Now, you touched on this before the break, but I had it in my questions because I want to make sure that we expound a little bit. When you're talking about, you, as I said, you make a case for the reasons to study Scripture. Then you walk through the different books of the Bible and just things that we can learn from the prophets and such. And you make a strong connection between our obedience and our serious study of the Bible. Explain why that matters. I mean, for obvious reasons, of course we should obey. But if we really want to stay in step with the Holy Spirit and have Him as our teacher, so to speak, our obedience matters. So say more, if you would.
Well, that's the reason I put those little adventure things at the end of most of the chapters, because it's the doing of the Word that counts. James told us that, didn't he? You're supposed to not just know the Word, but do the Word, because that transfers from your mind to your heart to your will. The will has to be touched by the Word of God. And people died, thousands, millions of people died because they believed and practiced the Word of God. Now, we haven't got that many verses in the Bible that we know that well, perhaps, but we need to take the Word of God that He gives us, meditate on it, let it sink into our will and into the obedience of a godly life. That's the difference.
Amen. And this is a really personal question, so you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but wondering if you had a default. Like for me, I've come so far and it's not the case anymore, but fear and anxiety seemed like they were constant battles for me for many years. And I would say that's not true so much anymore. God's done a deep work in me. But other pastors have said discouragement, you know, or depression or insecurity.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have a ditch that was kind of close to your toes that you had to really watch to avoid?
I think Youth for Christ cured me of it.
Yeah.
I was with YFC International for 4 years. I prayed with people who disagreed with me, and I worked with people, and we had a wonderful fellowship. The thing I had to learn was what you brought up just a few minutes ago. Don't be divisive. You've got brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I've got they're all in heaven now, but I had a sister and two brothers. My two brothers were marvelous athletes, marvelous mechanics. I can't put ink in a ballpoint pen. And as far as sports are concerned, I don't even know the rules. Here I was, this oddball. They went to the football field. I went to the public library.
Wow.
But we were one family. And we loved one another, and we helped one another. My sister was such a big help to me. So in the church, this is the way it has to be. We cannot destroy variety. There has to be a balance. We shouldn't let one thing take over everything, but we must not say, you've got to be like me or you're not going to be spiritual. Oh, my.
I wish I would have come with this quote that I read in your aghast when I read it in one of your commentaries. But you're talking about how, and this is my paraphrase, so if I say this wrong, it's all on me here, but about how when institutions and even people, when we kind of get too big for our britches, where maybe we walk through a time of favor and we enjoy that, but suddenly we become kind of a positioned in it where we think nothing can stop me now, and then we become fossilized and because we're so out of step with the fresh work of the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm just wrecking it, but you have a constant theme, I would say, through your commentaries about staying, keeping it fresh, staying in step with the Holy Spirit. And yet we have a tendency as people to take credit for the good stuff that's happening and to lose sight of our dependence on God in times of favor, you know?
Well, it's so important that we do what Jesus said. I want you to love one another. By this shall all men know that you belong to me, that you're a Christian, if you love one another. And such a thing as a church fight or a church split is foreign to what the Holy Spirit is here on earth doing.
Wow.
And I have tried in my life, and I've been criticized for it, to have a broad view. I've been in many different denominations, many different places, many different countries where things are different. But is my way the only way? No, no. That's why I've read widely. When people look at my library, they say, why do you have this book? Because that man has something to say that I need to hear.
Wow, that's so good.
Well, I never heard of him. Well, that's too bad.
<You know? laughs> Well, that's another thing that I'd love to ask you. I mean, everybody, I think, starting out, especially if you have any kind of public ministry, but I think this is true for anybody, where you have a fear of man, where people's opinions can weigh too much. You know, they carry too much weight. Do you remember a time in your life, maybe it's the Youth for Christ or the Back to the Bible time in your life, where suddenly the fear of man started to kind of not have the impact on you, where you had more of a fear of God than you did a fear of man?
I think that Youth for Christ cured me of that.
Wow.
Because we were there from different denominations. We could have had arguments, but that wasn't why we were there. And some of those leaders we had, I don't know if you ever knew any of them, they were so godly. And I don't want to be deliberately a maker of wars. I don't want to declare war. God didn't send me into the ministry just to declare war, except on sin and the devil. I want to love the brethren. I have had such good fellowship with people of different denominations. We didn't have to argue about anything. We had the Lord to save us, who saved us and who keeps us. And I miss my friends. I said to somebody the other day, you know, my whole crowd is dead. They're
wow.
up in heaven.
Wow.
And I miss them. I really do.
Hmm. And here you are. Do you mind telling me how old you are?
I'm 88.
88. And the man just...
Yeah, I should be 89, but I was sick for a year.
I'm sorry. You are so funny. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He's 88. He should be 89, but he was sick for a year. All right. His book, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. When we come back, we're going to talk about what he just expounded on from the book of Joshua, aspects of why God raises up certain leaders. So interesting. We're going to walk through some of those points when we come back. Heard it said, and I said it earlier, that someone once said, I don't know who said it, but if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And I just want to talk with you today, encourage you to stop striving, to create some time and space, to sit with God, to listen for his voice, to open up his word, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through it. Talking to Dr. Warren Wiersbe today, and one of the things he says is there's times where you sit with the Bible and don't go to other books, just sit with scripture and let God speak to you and cross-reference. But I will add to what Dr. Wiersbe said, and because he wouldn't say this, my Old Testament and New Testament commentaries by Dr. Wiersbe are right at my quiet time table. And if you need a commentary that reads like a devotional, check out his Old and New Testament commentaries. They're absolutely amazing. So in this book we're talking about today, Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study, you look at the chapter, your chapter in your book is on the book of Joshua and how you lay out these aspects of why God raises up certain people to be leaders. And I'm going to read the list, and then I'm going to go back if we could talk about them. God uses leaders who begin as servants. God uses leaders who will seek his will, obey it, starting in their own homes. God uses leaders who will put others first. He uses leaders who will acknowledge their mistakes and seek to correct them. He uses leaders who are themselves and not imitators of others. He uses leaders who are disciplined, and he uses leaders who explain and encourage others. So let's start with this one. God uses leaders who begin as servants. Say more, if you would.
Well, anybody who doesn't know how to be a servant has no right to be a leader. Hmm. I don't know if you've ever worked in a secular office or a factory, but I have. And there were people there who they weren't acting like leaders. They were just bossy and grumpy and they don't serve you. See, the pastor is there, or the secretary is there, or the whatever is there to serve. I keep when I was teaching at seminaries, I'd say to the men and women there, look, keep in mind that as you serve in the church, you're a servant. You're not the boss. You're not a king, a queen. You're a servant. They're going to ask you to do things you may not want to do, not because they're bad, but because they're quote unquote secular. Well, there's no secular. Feeding somebody is not secular. Encouraging somebody is not secular. So God gets a leader. Moses was somebody important in Egypt, and then boom, it all went to pieces. What did God make him? A shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And sheep are the dumbest animals God made. He wasn't breaking horses. He was taking care of sheep. And that's important. Mm-hmm. Learn how to be a servant. And I tell you, you won't have half of the problems the other guys are having.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of energy to get everybody to prop you up, you know?
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Wow. And you know what? I think it's also probably very damaging for a new believer or an unbeliever to see Christian leaders not be servants. I'm sure that's very confusing to them when they read mm-hmm. how Jesus lived, you know?
Jesus was a servant.
Yeah.
Paul was a servant. And that's what we need to be.
Amen. Okay, God uses leaders who will seek his will, obey it, starting in their own homes. Say more.
Well, that needs no explanation. It's very obvious. God doesn't want us to do what we think he ought to do. God wants us to do his will. Now, it's a beautiful thing to open your Bible, pray, and then find the Holy Spirit telling you the will of God. Sometimes it frightens you. Oh, I can't do that. No, a servant never says that. You can do it if you trust me.
So good. Okay, God uses leaders who will acknowledge their mistakes and seek to correct them. Again, that takes, I would say, consistent humility, not just once in a while humility, because otherwise, if you don't have the practice of humbling yourself and being a work in progress, your instinct will be to defend yourself.
Well, I've had pastors come to me and occasionally a missionary complaining about something, and I said, can I ask you a question? Well, sure. You'll give me the right answer? Yes, I will. Have you ever apologized to your people? Silence. Well, no, I guess I have. On more than one occasion, I've had to apologize to my people. My wife and I were at a conference, and I was one of the speakers, but that night somebody else was speaking. I will not name the person. And I said to Betty about halfway through, that man's angry.
Hmm.
He's angry at somebody, and he was.
Wow.
I found out later on what the situation was. The Word of God makes it very clear that we have to love people and serve people.
Hmm. And really deal with the issues of our heart, because they'll come out in the way that we serve, won't they?
Absolutely.
Hmm. And this one I loved. God uses leaders who are themselves and not imitators of others. Boy, we live in a copycat world, so, you know.
Well, I've heard my sermons many times in church.
That's unbelievable. You're like, that sounds familiar.
Well,
I've actually seen my... Anyway, keep going. What were you saying?
Well, no, I'm sorry, but the first time we went to church in Lincoln, Nebraska, the man preached one of my messages I gave in a conference. Now, I knew him. He's a good friend of mine. He just said, no, I liked it, so I thought I'd use it. But, well, you should have done what Spurgeon used to do. Spurgeon would get up and say, now, this message, the idea I've got came from this message by Dr. So-and-so,
yes,
and I don't have his permission, but I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
So at least admit it.
You're not kidding. I travel a lot. I can't even believe how often I'll hear 3-point, 4-point sermons from a blog that I just read online with no credit giving. I really do marvel at how often that happens. So it would be, and to think about going back to study, it's one thing to get with God and wrestle through your own message. I feel like that's the difference, Dr. Wiersbe, between somebody relaying somebody else's hard-fought message and then imparting it from your own gut because you've paid for it, you know?
Yeah, well, you can go online now and get all the sermons you want.
Yeah.
They are there waiting for you. And I know of pastors who spend all week playing golf or doing something else and then turn on their computer and grab up a sermon and preach it. Mm. But they're going to be dealt with one day when we all stand before the Lord.
It's no small thing, you know.
Well, the Word of God has to go through my life before it comes out of my mouth. And if it doesn't get into my life, I better find something else to do.
Man, that's so true. Well, I've got one more minute or so before I wrap up and pray here. God uses leaders who are disciplined. Say more.
Ooh, that's why we suffer. Mm-hmm. God looks down and says, this guy Wiersbe is just feeling too good. We got to do something about that.
Sorry.
And an angel will say, well, let me go down and give him a headache. And the Lord says, well, we better give him a headache or we'll be a headache. Go ahead. And I've been through that. God put me in the hospital. A guy almost killed me. He came at my car with a Kiss car going 80 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding?
He almost killed me. Mm. And God had to do that to me to deal with certain things in my life. Mm. Was it an act of unkindness? No, it was an act of love. You know, it's just like mother saying, now, it hurts me to spank you. And the children don't believe you until they have their own. Hmm. And then they know, it hurts. It hurts.
Well, I want to thank you for your faithful life, Dr. Wiersbe. And I marvel at 88 years old that you're putting out a book like this. And I'd love to pray a prayer blessing on you if I could. My Father,
please do.
Thank you for Warren. I thank you for Betty. I pray, Betty, that she'd know comfort of the Holy Spirit right where she is. Pray you bless those who are caring for her, that they would have kindness in their heart and integrity in all that they do, and that you would just give her a sense of your presence with her there. And I pray the same for Warren, who's got to be lonely for his dear bride. I pray you continue to bless him, continue to keep his mind sharp and bless his body. Pray that you give him sweet sleep and that at night his heart would instruct him, that you'd speak to him even as he sleeps at night. And I thank you, God, for this great man of faith and for all that he's done for so many of us. I just bless him and I thank you for this time now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Fun to be with you and a blessing.
And with you as well, Dr. Wiersbe. Thank you for the time today.
Okay.
God bless
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. What a dear man. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Have another heavy hitter, second hour here. Chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Barry Black, joins us again, this time to talk about his new book, Make Your Voice Heard in Heaven, How to Pray with Power. I'm just saying this now. Buckle up, because it's going to be another great, powerful hour. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.